Well, good morning, church. It was really exciting for some of you who weren't wondering what was really going on up here during the child dedication. You know, it was being interpreted live to our Iranian friends, and it was so exciting that they could participate. And so I just want to give a big shout out to Eric and Navid, who translate every week. Thank you so much. Yeah. So, friends, if you hear a little bit of mumbling or rumbling going on, that's what's happening. And we can gladly put up with that for the sake of our brothers and sisters in the faith. And we're just really glad about that. I think Chris Travell is in the house. Yeah, Chris Travell, welcome back from London, England. Kathy and Chris, for those that have been new in the last month or so, Chris and Kathy, Chris was an elder, Kathy was the children's pastors came and went, but Kathy remained the same. And part of our core team, starting and faithful. And anyway, Chris's work took him to London, England. And he's been back here working, but also getting to see us. So, Chris, we love you. Kathy, you're heading back tomorrow via the States, I guess. And yeah, we miss you, man. I was reprimanded last week because actually the guy I introduced was actually one of my assistant pastors, not an intern. And he gave it to me after, so that was good. All right. I just loved Chris Paramala last week. I loved him. He did such a good job. If you get to know Chris and his personality, he is just such an incredible man. And we love him very, very much. And just again, a shout out to Chris. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. This is week number 7 in this verse. And by now you can say it with me, can't you not? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Today we're looking at faithfulness. It was very fascinating to me when I did the actual word studies and the exegesis on the biblical word in the original language for faithfulness. And it surprised me, frankly, because I was confused because the word over 100 times is translated faith. And here it's faithfulness. And so it was actually from the Greek word pistis, which usually talks about faith, but with certain nuances and context, we understand it to mean things like fidelity, loyalty, trust, being trustworthy, dependability. It is the person on whose faithful service we can relax and rely. It is the person on whose loyalty we can depend. It is the person on whose word we can accept. And faithfulness emanates from the original creator and designer of God himself. You saw a few of these verses on the screen, but we see that God is the source. It emanates from his very being. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, he says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God." Now you miss a little bit in the Hebrew. What he's saying is that Yahweh, your God, is God compared to all of the other gods being worshipped. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. Psalm 33, the psalmist says, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does." Lamentations 3, right in the middle of heartache, right in the middle of pain and suffering, where there was no breakthrough. This is what the prophet Jeremiah says finally. He says, "But the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Faithfulness. consistent, reliable, dependable, true. What you see is what you get. Now, some of you are wondering, now, what in the world are you bringing a Starbucks cup up onto the pulpit for? Well, it is my routine for years. Every Sunday morning, kind of like the pregame stuff, my habits have always been that I go to Starbucks, go over my message, and I drink a quad grande Americano, no room. And and so I'm sitting there in the bullpen, I'm drinking this thing during the service and before the service, and something's not right. And I'm thinking, well, it's because of allergies, season's coming on, ragweed sufferers unite, and things are starting to happen, and I was scuba diving or snorkeling way too long yesterday up north near Deerhurst, and trying to find someone's gold chain. And anyway, so I'm thinking, okay, I got a cold. Something's not right. But I kept drinking. I said, no, it's just because me. I'm sick, I think. And so finally, right near the end, between songs, I crack it open, and they put cream in this. Now, for years, it's been dependable, reliable, trustworthy, faithful. And I can honestly say, for the first time in my young 55-year life, Starbucks was unfaithful to me. Not so with God. What God says, He does. His character, every time, never, ever changes, never lets us down. Faithful. God is faithful to His very being, His character. There's a passage in Timothy that tells us this. It says that if we are faithless, He is faithful because He cannot deny Himself. He is faithful to His character and His being. He is faithful to His word. His word is called the faithful word. His promises stand. We sang about that. Great is your faithfulness. He is totally true and faithful to His purposes. God has purposes in this world. He has purposes for your life. He wants to make you holy, to transform you into the character of Jesus Christ, who thinks like Christ, who values and loves like Jesus, and who behaves like Jesus in this context. He wants to change you and transform you. His purpose will never change for you like that. He has purposes and plans for the whole world, for His cosmos, the great creation that is groaning, yearning for its redemption, and He will bring it in the new heaven and the new earth. He is faithful to His children, that is His family, those who have trusted Christ. I did a quick sweep in my brain. I was just started to write down a few things where the word faithful or His faithfulness is tied into things that He does for those of us who trust in Jesus Christ. And here's a few of them. I just said, He is faithful to their transformation. 1 Thessalonians 5 says that faithful is He who calls you. He will do it. He's talking about God Himself, the God of peace, will sanctify you. That is to set you apart, clean you up, transform you, so that everything about you, your body, soul, spirit, will be transformed at that day when He returns. Faithful is He who calls you. He will do it. Philippians 1:6, He who began a good work in you will complete it. So God is faithful to our transformation. He is faithful to not letting you and I be tempted beyond what we are able. He will allow temptation, but He puts a limit on it. You, as a follower of Jesus Christ, can never look at God and say, you let that temptation come and it was too strong. Because He says He's faithful. He will also provide a way of escape. If you want to grow you begin to look and listen and sense the escape routes that God gives when you're in temptation. He promises, He's faithful, He will do that. We just get blind. Our own desires go into overdrive and we totally miss, or we run through even recognized things that He does to make us aware of what's going on, yet we blow right through it. That comes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He is faithful to forgive your sin. And it depends not on your goodness or your worth. It depends on His own character. He is faithful and He is just, and He will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He is faithful to forgive your sin. He's faithful to strengthen you, to protect you from the evil one. 2 Timothy 3:3. He is faithful to sustain you to the very end of your faith and your life. He is faithful to guard your souls while you suffer for doing good. I mean, I could go on and on. God is faithful not just to His own being and His word and His purposes. He's faithful to His kids. That's you and me who believe in Jesus Christ. And He's faithful to His creation. He's going to redeem it. I've been studying my quiet times. I'm in Job now. And there's a very fascinating verse in the New American Standard where it says that if God were to pull in all of His breath and His spirit, all flesh would die. Colossians said that everything is held together through Christ. Everything. And He's faithful to His creation. And one day He's going to totally redeem it. God is faithful. Yes? He is faithful. Now, I have something that's not in your notes, and I just feel like I should give you this. God tests your faithfulness. Aren't you glad that doctors go through tests to make sure they pass it so they can actually practice appropriately? Aren't you glad your mechanics go through tests so that they can actually fix things appropriately? Aren't you glad that there are driver's tests? God allows tests for us to grow strong in our faith. And here, very quickly, I'm going to take very little time with this. If you're taking notes, here they are. And they come from God. They come from our own selves, our flesh. They come from the world around us. And they come from the devil, the enemy of our souls. There's a pressure test. And the pressure test asks, how will we handle stress in our lives? That's a great question. Have you ever asked yourself, how do I handle stress? When you sit down and ask yourself that question and be quiet before the Lord, you can find out some things about yourself that you don't recognize or you're in denial about. I can handle stress. You know how? I came off of holidays. Vacation. I had fingernails. The word was had. And preparing my message, I was in the shower today and I was shampooing and go, man, that hurts. And I look and they're gone. Someone came and stole them. No. Sometimes I can gravitate to food to deal with stress. Some people gravitate to substances to medicate. Others escape into video games, or they over travel, or sometimes people get angry. The people test is the second one, the people test. And that is, how will I handle the disappointments in relationships? We all face tests relationally. Just is. It's true. I dare say that when the Apostle Paul talked about his thorn in the flesh, I actually think it was probably a person. And God didn't remove that person or those people because he wanted to use that in his life to grow him. See, people aren't always the problem, nor are they the answer. It's our responses to people so often. Because the persistence test. Will I keep my commitments? Life is all about commitments. And am I going to persist in them? Am I going to be faithful to them? Am I going to work them? It's a test. And lastly, the priority test. Who will come first in my life? What is number one? Who is number one, really? And that's a test. It's the priority test. If you want to find that out, one of the great diagnostics is, when you're not pressed for any particular thing, what does your mind naturally gravitate to think about? I digress, as Chris would say. There's lots of tests. They come from us, but God is faithful and he's there to help. The essence of our faithfulness is to be filled with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit ongoingly. As the Holy Spirit takes up residence when we become Christians, then as we live the life and we find that we can't be faithful, we fall, we trip, we don't understand the word, there comes a point where we come to the end of ourselves, and most of us have a distinct experience where we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit now is not just resident within you. Now he becomes president. He has greater control and greater influence. And so in Galatians chapter 5, when he contrasts the deeds of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit, what he's saying is this. This is the evidence, the fruit, the results of, or that which is shown forth or manifested when the Holy Spirit actually has control and is leading and filling your life. And so, the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential to our transformation in faithfulness. I just have to understand that and underscore that. We must be asking the Spirit of God continually, ongoingly, every time the need arises, to fill us, to overflowing, to overwhelming, to influence us. So, how do we then exhibit faithfulness? How do we exhibit it? There's many ways. I've just chosen four, and we're going to be done. The first way we exhibit faithfulness is by giving uncompromising allegiance to Jesus Christ. This is where it manifests itself. If you're a faithful person, especially if you claim to be a Christian, this is what you'll be growing in. The Holy Spirit will be manifesting more and more deeply, more and more thoroughly, ongoingly, and that is this uncompromising allegiance to Jesus. Barnabas was sent to Antioch. He was one of the early church. You read about this in Acts chapter 11. And he gets to Antioch, and when he came there, he saw the grace of God, and he was glad. What was going on in the lives of people? They became Christians. They were growing in their faith. And then he did this. He exhorted them, encouraged them. He just, you know, leaned into them to inspire them, to all of them, to remain faithful to the Lord and with steadfast purpose. There's a purpose to your salvation, to your connection with Jesus. And that is to be about him and his kingdom work and to be used by him and to become like him. It's all about Jesus. And so when he saw them, he exhorted them to be faithful to the Lord. And then Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, we studied this in our series last year, when the church in Smyrna, and the church in Smyrna was going through all kinds of difficulty. They were being persecuted, property was being stolen, they were being thrown into prison, and some of them were even being executed. And here's what Jesus says to the Christians. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you into prison to test you. You'll be suffer persecution for 10 days. That he's going to limit that. He says, but be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as a victor's crown. We are to be faithful, uncompromising. You read the book of Revelation, and it is all about a discipleship manual of how to live for Jesus, who he is, and how to live for him in a world that has gone crazy against him. And he calls his followers to be faithful, uncompromising with the culture, with their idols, with their morality. And he calls them to be faithful to the very end, even if it means imprisonment or death. So, that's how it'll manifest itself. Let me ask you this. Do you have absolute, uncompromising allegiance to Jesus? Or, yeah, you just got a little religion in your life, kind of cover your backside from hell? God has so much more in store for you than that. And he calls us to uncompromising allegiance. Jesus did all the time with his disciples. We read it in the Gospels. Whoever wants to follow me, pick up your cross and die daily. In this world, you're going to have trouble, but I've overcome it. And even if we die, then we will get the victor's crown for all of eternity. God calls us to faithfulness in our lives. Second way it manifests itself is by maintaining exclusive. Now, let me just say, I kind of had a sense here. Some of you going, man, that's not me. I mean, I want to be there. If you want to, that's the start. God will help you and he'll grow you. He who began a work will perfect it. So don't say, oh, I can't, so quit. No. His Holy Spirit will help you and enable you. His word will guide you. His family will help and walk with you. The second way is to maintain exclusive vitality in our marriage. Now, hang on, I got a word for the singles in the room later, but let me take this on. This is massive from cover to cover in the scripture. If you want to exude faithfulness, then maintain exclusive vitality in your marriage. That's one way it'll show itself. Being totally devoted, we stood at altars and we said, we gave ourselves to one at the forsaking of all others. And just because, let me just say this also, just because someone doesn't commit adultery doesn't mean that they're not really adding vitality to their marriage. God calls us to put energy and effort to cultivate the kind of relationship that we would experience that's unique to you, that would help you not want to wander anywhere else. Jesus was talking about and referring back to the original creation in Matthew 19 when he was being asked about divorce and other things. He said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother, will be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. That's God's plan. I know it hasn't always worked out that way. And I thank God that he's redemptive. But sometimes we're so afraid to uphold the biblical standard and call people to faithfulness in their marriage just because people have had some very difficult situations. But I just want to just say, church, God calls us to faithfulness. And if you're in marriage two or so, be faithful to that marriage. Cultivate it. Put energy into it. Hebrews chapter 13 says, let marriage be held in honor among all. And let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. Oh, our marriages must be exclusive to our partners. But just to remain married without putting any effort into cultivating the kind of healthy and good relationship is not what God calls us to. So I want to encourage you in this whole how to exhibit faithfulness. Some of us need a kick in the backside to put some more energy into our spouse. As Rick Warren says, date your mate. What caught him or her, it takes to keep him or her. Cultivate developing friendship, communicating. And I just got to say, and this is no longer just a men's issue. Last research I read is somewhere near 30 or so percent of affecting women now in the whole devastation of pornography. If you want to be faithful to your spouse and cultivate unique and exclusive vitality in your marriage, that has got to be poison. Poison. Time magazine came out with an article last year, and it was about young men in the U.S. who were almost impotent in normal relationships because they so needed so much porn to actually even have normal sexual relationship with their spouse or their partner. So you think it is devastating. If you want to stay away from the biblical moral part of it, then just listen to the research and get help. There's help. There is. There's good stuff. There's good materials nowadays. There's Celebrate Recovery groups and things like that. It's just, and here's the thing I noticed also in people who researched this. One of my mentors was talking to me about it, and he said, it is maybe the single biggest thing that is destroying the soul of Christian men in the church. It is like a cancer that just leaves them lethargic, spiritually apathetic. It just eats their soul away. So church, can I call you? And I know for some that battle's going to be hard and long, but you can do it. I've said this many times. There is no peace. There is no peace in this world like putting my head down on a pillow beside Leah at night with a clear conscience. You want to cultivate that kind of value and desire and affection, and cultivating desires for holiness and purity, and there's such joy in that. So I'll let that go. But and wives, same thing. Cultivating energy and vitality in your marriage. You've just got to, I mean, under God, it's your single most important relationship on the planet. And we just got to go there. That's a manifestation of faithfulness that the scriptures talk about a lot. Here's another one. If I'm really meddling, you ain't seen nothing yet. Are you okay? That was supposed to be funny. Here's a third way. Stewarding resources for God's purposes. If you want to be a faithful follower of Christ, you want to be faithful to God, one of the things he over and over and over, from cover to cover, talks about is faithfulness in the area of stewarding your resources for God's purposes. There is more. You guys have heard it before from this platform, from Scott and others who have talked about this. There is more in the scripture that addresses finances and possessions than there is by four times faith, love. It's shocking. But God knows. Jesus said that when you have your wallet in your hand, you're holding the temple of the 21st century God. So that's why Jesus talks about it. Is Jesus number one to you? You'll be a faithful, generous percentage, growing in your giving. And it's so freeing. It'll keep the greed away. And God refreshes and blesses. Matthew chapter 25, this is one of many parables Jesus said, and here's what he said at the end. Remember, they invested the resources God gave them. The master comes back. It's a picture of when Jesus returns. And he replied, "Well done, good and what? Faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." In Luke chapter 16, Jesus said, "If you have not been faithful in unrighteous wealth, that is in money and resources and possessions, who will trust you with true riches, i.e. spiritual riches?" Friends, we don't understand the correlation between honoring God with our resources, our money, and him entrusting us with spiritual resources in the strengthening of our souls, our ministries, stuff like that. So, again, because it's talked about so much and in the area of faithfulness, it made my top four. So, giving uncompromising allegiance to Jesus, maintaining exclusive vitality in our marriage, stewarding resources for God's purposes, and number four, exercising the Spirit's gifts to serve other people. The Holy Spirit, through Peter, the Apostle Peter, said, "Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." We've all been given different gifts, the various forms of God's grace. That word is charis, from which you get the word charismata, or gifts of grace. And we're called to be faithful in using our gifts. So, in light of some of the things that I've experienced lately, grieving a very, very public church leader who influenced my life maybe more than almost any, I was just so grieved. I was really impacted by the Apostle Paul's words in Timothy, 2 Timothy, where he's challenging Timothy near the end of his life, and this Apostle Paul said, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day." He will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Another mentor I've been mentored by in the last 3 or 4 years, I talked to Ray Dirksen one day from Southland Church at Steinbach, and I said, "Ray, finish well. I need you to finish well. Way too many don't. And I pray that I will use my gifts and stuff to the end of my day." You know, I was a high school student, and I was at a youth retreat at Catepwa Lake. in Saskatchewan. And we went out for a hike as a group of kids, and I wanted to be a dentist, if you know. Appropriate shirt today for that. And I was typically leading the group over on this hike back then. I was 98 pounds ago. And I was, I ran up ahead and I saw this stick and I picked it up and I saw this big boulder on the side of this hillside and I jumped up and I stood up in front of the youth group coming up and I started, "Hero Hillsdale." Started speaking to them like I was Moses, you know. And I had this really weird feeling. So I chucked the stick, and I went back. We finished, went swimming and stuff. And then I came back before supper, and I had my Bible. And I picked up my Bible, went up there and sat on that rock. And I opened it to where my last place I had read. And I was in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy. And I began to read 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. And the Holy Spirit, what I knew now is that he like kind of gave like a rhema. He just like inflamed a few phrases that changed the direction of my life. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly handling the word of truth. Preach the word in season and out of season. Fulfill your ministry. I got goosebumps. That was like ...37 years ago. And I shed a tear and I wrestled a bit. And God wrecked my plans. But I picked up that stick. This is it. And this stick has gone with me from Regina to Burlington, Ontario, to Regina, to Ottawa, to Kelowna, and back here. And every time I feel like quitting, and there are days I do, just telling you, I see that stick leaning against the wall in my office. And I said, "God, help me to be faithful." And some days, and sometimes, I don't feel strong enough. I actually really do want to quit. But the Holy Spirit does something, and then he'll do something with someone in the body of Christ. Because God speaks and acts through his body, the Christ, the body of Christ, the church. And something will happen, and it'll encourage my heart. And I say, okay, I can keep going. Remember, Rick Warren was asked, "Do you ever feel like quitting?" And he said, "Just every Monday." So this is a symbol to me. This is a symbol. Some of you, you've forgotten to look at it with the deep meaning that there is there. I just was reminded, I was going to say something to the singles in the room back a half an hour ago. What Jesus did in the gospel was he sanctified, honored, and infused with dignity, once again, singleness. And God calls you, some, you choose to do so, to live singly. And the power of the gospel and the goodness of Jesus is that by and through the Holy Spirit, you can experience intimacy with Jesus deep intimacy with Jesus and with his community, the church. That for many of you, or some of you, that will suffice for you. And that's no, there's no shame in that. Do you hear me? There's no shame in that. We're going to talk about that in sometime in the future as we're putting a series together about that. But he calls you to faithfulness and holiness in your singleness. Our culture has dumped that one. There are Christian parents telling kids, you should live together and sleep together to see if it works. I just say, you tell me where Jesus ever endorses that. But he'll bless you for faithfulness and holiness and purity. That's what he calls you to. So, you guys know I tell a lot of things that I don't do that well. But this is one thing that has helped. Be faithful, church, to Jesus. Be faithful to him, uncompromisingly. Be faithful to your spouse if you have one. And put some energy into it. I know I need to. It's so easy in ministry and other things we do in our work to neglect those very close. And then honor Jesus and be faithful with your finances. He'll help you. And then, what was the last one? Yeah, I can't hear you. Took my hearing aids out, so. All right, let's pray. Would you stand with me? Yeah. Use your gifts, church. Use your gifts. Lord, I thank you how you called this prairie boy. And now you gave me an incredible life partner in Leah. And you've taken care of every need. And you've given gifts. And you know I have not batted 1,000 and been faithful every moment of the way. There's times that you called me to do things in ministry I didn't do. You called me to serve Levia and love Leah in ways that I didn't do. You asked me to give way more, and I didn't. And there's been times I shied away from using the gifts you've given. So for all of those, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. And this morning I re-up and say I'm all in, declaring my allegiance to you, to Leah, to honor you fully, growing in stewardship and in the exercise of my gifts. To not play it safe all the time. So, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. And I pray this for every single one in the crowd, regardless of how far they've fallen. I pray that this would be the day where they stand up and say, I'm all in again. So bless us as a community of faith towards that end. And fill us afresh. Oh, Spirit of God, come and fill. Because we can't do it on our own. We need you. And we need each other. So I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.